Reading from Art of Chanting, Illuminations on Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam. And there's some selected quotations we can read. First is the first prayer of Lord Chaitanya, Chaito Dharvana Marjanam. 1 week before his disappearance, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur imparted 10 important instructions on devotional service. Regarding Krishna's holy name, he said, "The holy name, with its noted 7 excellences mentioned in the first Shikshastakam prayer, should be cultivated by all. The holy name should never be neglected at any cost. Attraction to the holy name will award one all perfection." So in the first verse, Chaito Dharvana Marjanam, there are 7 treasures or 7 excellences that are described. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes 7 excellences about the holy name. The holy name will do 7 things. There's seven different benefits there, 7 different actions there. So these are described in the purport to Shikshastakam by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The first one is each part of the prayer is divided as phrases, and these phrases represent 7 different benefits or excellences of the holy name. First is Chaito Dharpana Marjan. This phrase means that chanting Harinam destroys all anarthas. For a conditioned soul, the mirror of the heart, which is a chit darpan, or consciousness, is covered by a thick layer of dust in the form of samskaras. What are samskaras? Samskaras are impressions on the mind from activities done in previous lives, and also this life. And anarthas are unwanted material desires which impede one's progress in bhakti. Chanting Krishna's name removes the dust and allows one to see the pure form of the soul and the beautiful transcendental form of Shamsundara. So this is the first excellence of the holy name, which Lord Chaitanya summarizes in the phrase Chaito Dharpana Marjan. The second one, Bhava Mahadav Agni Nirvapanam, that this holy name extinguishes the great burning fire of material existence. Because Dav Agni means, Agni means fire. Mahadavagni means big fire. Bhava means material existence. Nirvapana means to extinguish. So Bhaktivinoda describes in a little more deeper way. He says this phrase means that chanting Hare Krishna removes all miseries and kleshas. Adhyatmika klesh, adibhautika klesh, adidhaivika klesh, and all stages of sin. There are 4 stages of sin. Prarabdha, aprarabdha, kuta and bija, and avidya. So this is the phrase bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Now the third excellence is contained in the phrase shreya kaivrava chandrika vitaranam. This means that all auspiciousness, shubha, manifests in one's life by chanting the holy name. As the white lotus, this word Kairava, Kairava Chandrika, means white lotus. Well, Kairava means white lotus. As the white lotus, Kairava, which is also called Komudi, Krishnanika Komudi, right? There's a book like that. As the white lotus, Kairava, blossoms under the moonbeams, Chandrika, the flower of good fortune, opens in the heart, illumined by the cooling rays of the holy name. The Shreya, we have Shreyas and Threyas. Threyas is immediate benefit, and Shreyas is long-term benefit. So the Shreya, this holy name, it creates benefit. And Mahaprabhu is using an analogy here, as when the moon rises, then there's a night-blooming lotus called Komudi or Kairava. Under the Chandrika, under the rays of the moon, then that lotus flower opens up. So similarly, the lotus of our heart, the lotus of our heart, the heart is compared to a lotus, or the lotus of consciousness. And yoga school is called the Sahasra Padma Chakra. Sahasra Padma Chakra means the chakra. There's the Mula Chakra, there's the heart chakra, there's different chakras in the body, seven chakras. So the chakra on the head region, this is called Sahasra Padma. This means a thousand petaled lotus. Each one is represents a lotus, but they have different petals, 4 and 6 and 8 and like this. So this is Sahasra Padma Chakra, a thousand petaled lotus, and this is considered to be a white lotus. The lotus of consciousness, the chakra that represents consciousness, is a white lotus flower. And that's what's being told here, Kairava. That's a white lotus flower. And so when the holy name acts to open the consciousness, to open the lotus of the consciousness, the Kairava Chandrika, the moon rays of the holy name, they open the Kairava, the white lotus of the consciousness, and then everything becomes Shreya. Shreya means long-term benefit, very auspicious. So as the white lotus blossoms under the moonbeams, the flower of good fortune, or the flower of consciousness, opens in the heart, illuminated by the cooling rays of the holy name. That's the third benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, which is summarized in the first verse of Chaitanya Shikshastakam, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Each phrase of this prayer has a very significant meaning, and we run through it every day very fast. But each, there's, in other words, there's seven parts of this shloka. It's one shloka, and there's seven parts, and each of the seven parts describes specific activities of the holy name, or specific treasures or benefits, or as is told here, excellences that the holy name brings to one. So when we hear all of this and we remember all this every morning, then we think, oh, this holy name is wonderful, and all these wonderful things will happen to me by chanting this holy name. And it increases our faith, and it increases our determination to chant with attention and very sincerely, under guidance, proper guidance. So the fourth benefit, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. So Vidya means knowledge, Vadu means wife, and Jivana means life, Jiva, life. This means, this phrase, Vidya Vadu Jivanam, means the supreme knowledge, Paravidya, or spiritual knowledge, Vidya, is, what is the supreme knowledge? The supreme knowledge is the Mahabhav of Srimati Radhika, who is Krishna's topmost Vadu. The word Vadu means wife or consort. So in this case, Radharani is not the wife of Krishna, but she is his consort. The word Jivanam means the Jivanam, the life and soul of Radhika, is Krishna alone. So Vidya Vadu Jivanam. So we put everything together. Krishna is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description. Krishna's name, therefore, which is non-different from Krishna, is described as Vidya Vadu Jivanam. In other words, this life, this excellence, is the holy name of the Lord, is, well, there's more description also, is the very life of his consort. It is the topmost knowledge. What is the topmost knowledge? The topmost knowledge is to love Krishna in the purest form of love, which is Mahabhav. Because knowledge should bring one to understanding of God. This is the purpose of knowledge. Ordinary vidya, is knowledge of working in this material world, manipulating the elements of this material world, finding security, benefit, comfort for the material body. This is the use of material knowledge. But spiritual knowledge means to know God. That's called paravidya. And the topmost understanding of God is the personality of Godhead. Vedanti tat tatvavidas yat tajgyam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavanti shabhyate. It's told in first canto that this advaya gyan, or brahma gyan, is understood in three levels. The lowest level is Brahman, higher than that is Paramatma, and the topmost understanding is Bhagavan, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So therefore, if one pursues paravidya, spiritual knowledge, he will go through these stages and finally realize that the personality of Godhead, this is the fullest understanding of knowledge. And then that knowledge will develop further that, yes, there is this personality, and he's surrounded by so many other personalities who are his loving devotees, and they're all serving him and exchanging with him in love, in different forms of love. And the topmost expression of love is Madhurya Prem. And in Madhurya, there is a hierarchy. There are different levels. Snehaman, Pranaya Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav, Madhunakya, Madhunakya, Mahabhav. So in this Madhunakya, Mahabhav, Madan means madness, unmad, where one becomes so absorbed in beloved, they lose themselves, they forget everything about themselves, they become mad, and especially in separation. So Radharani is a personification of this. She's Mahabhav Sarupini. Radharani Thakurani, Mahabhav Sarupini. The Radharani is a Thakurani. She's a great queen of what? She's the queen of Vrindavan, yes, but she's the queen of love, the queen of Prem, and the highest expression of Prem is Mahabhav. Radharani Thakurani, Mahabhav Sarupini. She is a Sarup, the very personal form of this great love that controls Krishna and fills Krishna with the greatest ecstatic bliss. So that is the Vidya. And so the fullest understanding of Vidya is to understand this Mahabhav and understand that the Vadu, the consort of Krishna, this Mahabhav is her very life. So the holy name, ultimately what the holy name will do, this excellence, this benefit of the holy name, will bring one to the lotus feet of Radharani, will bring one to the service of Radharani, and whereby one will, becoming Radhadasya, one will actually experience the rays of Radharani's Mahabhav, Vidyavadu Jivanam, and that is the greatest life for the Jiva, for the living entity, to experience that love that Radharani is experiencing. So this is the fourth benefit, Vidyavadu Jivanam. The fifth excellence of the holy name, which is described in the first verse, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, Anandam Budi Vardhanam. This means, whereas Ananda means bliss, Ambudi means ocean, Vardhan means to increase, to nourish, to expand, to satisfy, Govardhan. We're living here on the side of Govardhan Hill. So everyone is expanding here. Hopefully. Not only our waistlines, but our devotional lines should be expanding. And increasing. Our bhakti should be nourished by the association of the Lord and his devotee. Govardhan is a special form of the Lord because he's both the Lord and the greatest devotee of the Lord. So this phrase, Anandam Budivardhanam, is the fifth treasure, or fifth excellence of the holy name. Chaito Darpana Marjan, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, Shriya Kaivarava Chandrika Vitaranam, Vidyavadu Jivanam. And now, Anandam Budivardhanam. This means that when the tiny Jiva soul takes shelter of the lotus feet of Ananta Krishna, he submerges in an ever-expanding Vardhanam, boundless ocean of bliss, Anandambudi. So this holy name will bring we tiny Jiva souls. We are sheltered at Krishna's lotus feet to the extent by which we are absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. If we're not chanting Hare Krishna, we are not really sheltered at the feet of Krishna. We are sheltered at the feet of our mind. Not a very good shelter. One Acharya told me, he said, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you can understand you're Krishna conscious. If you're not chanting Hare Krishna, you're in Maya. So Jiva Goswami says the same thing basically, because he says in Sandarva, Bhakti Sandarva, whatever you're doing, whatever we're doing, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, it must be joined with chanting Hare Krishna. But some devotees, they do Smaranam. All day they do Smaranam. But they must do Smaranam along with chanting Hare Krishna. Silently or audibly, whatever. Or they may be doing puja all day long. They're so busy. They're head bajari, the Mangalartik, and this artik, and that artik, and dressing, and cooking. In some temples, there's one one pujari and 13 deities, 14 deities around the world. So the pujari is very, very busy. Some temples, the temple president is a grihastha, and then his wife, he's the president and the treasurer and the vice president and the secretary, and his wife is the pujari and the cook. And that's the temple. The husband and the wife. Family deities, but many deities. Gauranitai, Radha and Krishna, Jagannath. There are temples like that. So they're very, very busy all day long doing archan. But if that archan is to be successful or to be accepted or to be pleasing to the Lord, it must be joined with Nam Sankirtan. So therefore, this Acharya was quite correct when he said, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you can understand two things. One is that you're sheltered at the feet of the Lord. This is the proof. And the second thing, you can understand that you're Krishna conscious. As soon as we stop chanting Hare Krishna, then we start chanting who knows what. I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that. She doesn't like me. She likes me. He doesn't like me. He said this and she said that. And what do you think and what do I think? So it sounds like a very demanding and very restrictive and dictum. And we have the word dictator, so this dictum has a similar connotation as dictator. If one is ruled by such a dictum, then one will be the slave of an autocrat. One will become the slave of a transcendental autocrat named Krishna. And you'll be in very good company if we could be such chanters of the holy name, because Krishna will like it, because he will say, yes, I told such a thing in my Gita, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will also like it. So you'll be in Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela, because Krishna is saying, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam, always chant. And then in Gaur Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, always chant. So if you're always chanting, Krishna will like you. If you're always chanting, Gauranga will like you. So who else matters? If Krishna likes you and Gauranga likes you, then what do you care more than that? Of course, this is the goal, and we start with one round a day. And then we go to the temple and they say, oh, maybe you can, how many rounds are you chanting? Oh, one round. Oh, maybe you think you can do two? Oh, two rounds is very difficult. I'll try. And then they do two. And this is how it starts. Devotees, you may remember, or maybe you don't remember. When you first come and meet devotees, they encourage you to chant japa. Usually they don't say, this is your first day you're visiting, so you chant one lakh tomorrow, okay? They don't usually say like that. They say, oh, why don't you try chanting one round? Has anyone had experience like that? Generally, it's like this. Start slow and take a lot of mahaprasadam. Then after some time, they say, oh, by the way, now we're not giving you any more mahaprasadam, and you should chant a lot of rounds and do a lot of seva. So this is the promise here of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there is a boundless ocean of bliss. Because an ordinary ambudi, Pacific ambudi, Atlantic ambudi, these are oceans, ambudi. They have the boundary, they have a limit, the border, the continent, the land, and they don't go beyond their limits. And if they do, then that's a very good holy name. It's called tsunami. Tsunami means a good nam, good name. When that good name comes and the ocean goes beyond its limits, then people are really chanting. Help, help, help. Gorbachev, Gorbachev, Gorbachev. Save us, save us, save us. So when the flood of the holy name gets too much, then the oceans flood the continents and flood the land and people drown. But generally, the material oceans, they don't go beyond their boundaries. Therefore, this holy name is boundless. This ocean of Anandambuddhi, it is Anandam and is Anantam. That is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary on this phrase from Shikshastakam, it says Ananda, Ananda, which means bliss, happiness and joy. ecstasy. But ananda can also mean ananta. Ananta means unlimited. Ananta, no end. There's no end, there's no boundary, there's no limit, there's no border. And this is also implied. There's bliss there, and what type of bliss? Unlimited bliss. There's an ocean there, what type of ocean? Boundless ocean. There's no shore, there's no limit, there's no beach. It goes on and on and on. So you might say, your faces look very doubtful. You're saying, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying Anandam Bhurivardhanam, but your faces are saying, I don't find that bliss. Where is that ocean of bliss? It says here that the tiny jiva, when he takes shelter of Ananta Krishna, then he submerges in an ever-expanding, boundless ocean of bliss. Submerges means you're under the bliss, in the bliss, covered with the bliss, under the water. But all we know now is that we're under the water of misery. We're just gasping for breath in the ocean of misery. Dukambudi, right? Dukambudi, ocean of duk. Dukalayam ashashvatam, Krishna says in Gita. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Alayam means a house of, like you say, Vidyalaya, house of knowledge, or Bhojanlaya, or Himalaya. Himalaya means a house of, or an abode of him, snow. Bhojanalaya means place to enjoy food. So this dukalayam, Krishna is telling, dukalayam means a place of misery. A house also means a house. This material world is a house of misery, a place of misery. Ashashvatam. It is temporary. That's the good part. Ashashvatam. But unless we surrender to Krishna, it's eternal. This is the sixth excellence of the holy name. Pratipadam purnamrita swadanam. Pratipadam, every step, purna, complete, amrit, nectar, swadanam. Swad means to taste, to relish, to savor, to enjoy. Pratipadam purnamritas swadanam, purnamritas swadanam, means by the mercy of Sri Krishna's internal potency, Sarup Shakti, the Lord's bliss potency, Ladini Shakti, enters the heart of the jiva to expand the ocean of Krishna Prem with unlimited waves of pleasure. At every step, Pratipadam, the jiva fully relishes Purna Amrit Swaranam, varieties of nectarine seva ras, sakya ras, vatsalya ras, madhurya ras. So this is the, once we're in the ocean, the previous phrase, ananda mudivardhanam, says that this holy name plunges the jiva into an ocean of bliss. So what is the characteristics of that ocean? What are some of the specific qualities of that ocean? Well, oceans are wet, and they have waves, and maybe the water is salt, and there's aquatics there, and plants there, and coral, and other things. So now in this verse, Mahaprabhu is specifying what are the characteristics of the ocean. That ocean is full of waves, taranga, and those waves come as various sevas, different forms of sevas, different forms of rasas. In other words, what's being said here is that the holy name, one of the excellences of the holy name of Krishna, or the Maha Mantra, one of the treasures, or one of the benefits that one derives, is the holy name takes one to the spiritual world. As we read about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati, that very long description of his experience with the holy name. I feel as if I'm submerged in an ocean of bliss. So the holy name takes us to the spiritual world, awards us a spiritual body, then we engage in nitya seva of the Lord, in particular ras. So that's what it's saying here. The Lord's bliss potency, by the mercy of the Sri Krishna's internal potency, Sarup Shakti, that means that the holy name takes you to the level above. The Lord's bliss potency, Ladini Shakti, this is part of the Sarup, enters the heart of the jiva to expand the ocean of Krishna praying with unlimited ways of pleasure. So at this point, one realizes his sarup and begins step after step, moment after moment, kal after kal, to engage nastakali lila bhajan and seva of the Lord's eightfold pastimes. At every step, pratipadam means nishant kal, pratekal, and then purvan kal, madhyan kal, apurvan kal, like this. So it's moment after moment, step after step, he's relishing happiness, pratipadam, fully relishes purna amrita swadhanam, varieties of nectarine sevaras, because he's engaged in his sarup, in his manasi bhajan, manasi seva. He's engaged in nitya seva of the Lord in his particular sthayi bhava, and he's experiencing different happiness and different ecstasies of ras there. This is what's being described. Pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam. Now the seventh and last excellence of the holy name, sarv atma snapanam, sarva, all, atma, body, mind, word, soul. Snapanam means snan, bathing, cleansing. This means that chanting Krishna's holy names completely cleanses snapanam, the jiva, of all selfish desires for personal enjoyment. Sarv atma. Chanting Krishna's holy names thoroughly bathes the living entity, both internally and externally, making him clean and cool. In such a state of supreme purity, the jiva, now filled with spotless prema, becomes absorbed in giving bliss to Sri Krishna. This is sarvatma snapanam. This has also other meanings, because this sixth benefit, one is established in his pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam, living entity is established in sarup siddhi, in his spiritual body, and he's rendering service to the Lord, astakali lila pratipadam, and purnamrita swadhanam, he's experiencing extreme happiness and bliss, serving the Lord's eightfold pastimes. And then sarvatma snapanam, this also implies the last and final stage, when the living entity leaves this world and enters Bhoma Vrindavan to attain his Vastu Siddhi. At that time, this when one attains Vastu Siddhi under the guidance and direction of the Parishads of the Lord, Rupamandri, Lita Sakhi, and other liberated souls in the Parampara, Guru Sakhis in the Parampara, then this is when he is Sarvatma Snapanam. At this point, when one jiva realizes and attains his Vastu Siddhi, then there is complete cleansing. There is everything is completely cleansed now. There is nothing. There is no traces of anything. He's fully established and able to relish Snayam on Pranaya Rag Anurag if he's in Madhurya Bhav and Manjri Bhav. So this is the internal meaning of this phrase, Sarvatma Snapanam. It takes the jiva right to Bhoma Vrindavan, the holy name, right to his, where he'll take birth from the womb of a gopi, and he'll have his sarup siddhi, and then when he attains further guidance, that sarup siddhi will kind of blossom into vastu siddhi. And then he'll in that vastu siddhi is sarvatma snapanam. Then he can give, as it says, in such a state of supreme purity, because there's no fragrance of anartha, there's nothing at that point. This only the pure bhavas of the atma. In such a state of supreme purity, sarvatma snapanam, the jiva, now filled with spotless prema, which means spotless prema means this nirmal prema or kanta prema, which includes the ability to offer Krishna's service in snayaman pranaya rag. Because in sarup siddhi one only comes to the level of prema, because in sarup siddhi one cannot contain in this material body, and with sarup siddhi one cannot contain or realize or understand the higher levels of prema. Only he comes to prema. When one attains Vastu Siddhi, then he can actually serve the Lord and understand Snayaman Pranaya Rag, etc. Now filled with spotless prema, he becomes absorbed in giving bliss to Krishna. He becomes absorbed in giving bliss to Krishna. Krishna is everything. He forgets himself at this level. At the previous level in Sarup Siddhi, he's giving bliss to Krishna, but he's also relishing himself. That's why it's saying this. It says, Pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam. He's swad. He's doing swad. He's tasting. But at this level, everything, Krishna is tasting everything. At this level, Vastusiddhi. This is the difference between Samanjasarati and Samartharati. Samanjasarati of the Dwarka queens, they're tasting something in their blissful service to the Lord in Prema, in Madhurya, Swakiya Bhav. But in the gopis, of course the gopis are also tasting, but the gopis Samartha, they're giving everything to Krishna. They're not desiring to taste anything or any swadhana from their side. Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. This means that chanting Sri Krishna's holy name, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, will be completely victorious. Especially, what type of victory will one get? Will you conquer? You will conquer. Of course you will conquer. By surrendering to the holy name, taking full shelter of the holy name, Namashraya, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, you will conquer. What will you conquer? You will conquer Trigunamayi. You will conquer the three modes of nature. Mam Chiyo Bicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagonan Samatityaitan Brahmabhuya Kapate. Mam Chiyo Bicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate. Bhakti Yogena means Nam Yagya, Nam Sankirtan. This is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means this, hearing and chanting, remembering Krishna's name. This is Bhakti Yoga. This is told in Bhagavad Gita. Mam Chiyo Bicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagonan Samatityaitan Brahmabhuya Kapate. So by becoming Abhicharena, absorbed fully in Krishna's name, chanting Krishna's name, then what happens? This is real bhakti yoga. This is the real connection with Krishna through Nam. And by chanting Nam, one is fully connected with Radha and Krishna in surrender and seva. And then, sagunan samatityaitan, one transcends the three gunas, becomes free. And then, this is one victory. This is a great victory. Transcend the modes of nature. No more sleeping in class. This is also a big victory. Because one actually has ruchi for Harikata. But when there's no ruchi, that means one is anishtita. Anishtita. This is anartha nivritti. At the level of anartha nivritti, one is anishtita. Then after anartha nivritti comes nishtita. So when one has no ruchi for Harikata, then he sleeps in class. Because he's anartha nivritti. He's impure. This is a symptom. So we can understand very clearly where we are. We hear Harikata, oh, good night. But we can just look out here and see who has some fixity. It's very easy to know where someone is standing in Krishna consciousness. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So this is one victory. The chanting of Hare Krishna, the holy name, will bring one beyond the modes of nature. That's a great victory, because 99.9% of the people are being defeated and rushing into the jaws of death. Kalosmi. Time I am, and I've come to destroy everyone. So time is destroying everyone and crushing them in the jaws of death, of Viratarup. But one out of a million, Manushanam Sahasreshu, Kaschit Yatati Sidhya, Yatatamati Sidhanam, Kaschit Mamati Tatvata. Krishna says 1 out of 10 billion actually knows Krishna in Vrindavan. 1 out of 10 billion. So there's only 5 billion people on the planet. So the chances of knowing Krishna in Vrindavan are very slight. Very slim. So this, but the victory, the Bhaktivinoda is saying, what kind of victory will be? He'll be param vijayate, a very special victory. This victory is not so special. They'll conquer the modes of nature. Yogis can also do it through gyan, through sankhya, through ashtanga. They can conquer the modes of nature to some extent, but they can't uproot the karma beach. This is the problem. The karma beach lies dormant in the citta. Although they appear to be liberated, for all intents and purposes, they are atmaramas. They are liberated. They are muktas. But the citta is still lying dormant in the citta. There is still bijam, desire bija, which can cause problem, which does cause problem. But vijayate, the victory of chanting Hare Krishna, is that one becomes liberated and actually leaves the material world. And he especially will be completely victorious, and the holy name will especially give you the victory of revealing Radha Govinda's enchanting pastimes of love. Prema Vichitra Leela. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is taking this phrase, Vijayate, because we say Jayate. Jayate means victory, but why Vijayate? Because V means Vishesh. Vishesh means something special, extraordinary. But he's taking V and Jayate to mean Vichitra. But chitra means variegated, artistic, chitra saki. Chitra means variegated, lots of variety. Or But when we say vichitra, means very extremely variegated. So this is Krishna's lila. It's a very beautiful explanation Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving. Pram vijayate. What does vijayate mean? Vijayate means, okay, complete victory. Vishesh jaya. Vishesh means special. Vishesh. Right, special. But he's saying, not vishesh, vichitra. What vichitra? Vichitra lila. What lila is vichitra? Braja prem. Krishna's lilas and pastimes in Braj, Gokul and Chatikar and Nandagaon, Barsana, Radhakund, Govardhan, these are really vichitra. So much variety, so much speciality, so much sweetness, that to all the demigods in the whole universe come down to roll in the dust of Krishna's feet every afternoon to get that special flavor of Krishna lila in Braj. That's how special. 33 million demigods come down here to take a bath in the dust of Krishna's feet every afternoon during Apurvan Lila. That's really special. That's really vichitra. So the holy Parambijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan means this. By chanting Krishna's holy name, we will be completely victorious. Especially, this holy name will reveal Radha Govinda's enchanting pastimes of love, Prema Vichitra Lila. By delineating the seven excellences of Harinam, the first shloka of Shikshastakam, Chaitodarpanamarjanam, what will it do? It increases one's appreciation of the wonderful qualities of the holy name. This, in turn, helps one achieve firm faith in the holy name. For this reason, Thakur Bhaktivinoda links this verse, Chaitodarpanamarjanam, to Shraddha, faith, the initial stage of bhakti, because in his dissertation on Nam Bhajan, which follows his Harinam Chintamani, he wrote a sequel to Harinam Chintamani called Bhajan Rahasyam. In Bhajan Rahasyam, he teaches how to chant the holy name and to realize one's sarup and enter the Nitya Lila, Astakali Lila of Radha and Krishna. This is the teaching of Bhajan Rahasyam. So in that, he connects the eight pairs of holy name with the nine steps of spiritual perfection, adoshara tatasara sangha bhajan kriya nartha nivriti tata anishta. Then he connects with the eightfold pastimes of the Lord, astakali lila. It's a masterpiece of synergy. Devotional bhajan synergy. Bhajan rahasyam. And it's all very secret also. And there's so many verses for meditation, and he gradually takes one through faith, from faith to sarasanga, Bhajana Kriya and Artha Nivriti, etc. So this is the first verse, which every day we chant this verse before we start chanting japa, and we can reflect, Chaito Dharpana Marjam, yes, oh holy name, oh Radha Krishna, please purify the mirror of my consciousness. You can actually go through each of these seven. This verse has seven parts. And you can go through each of the seven parts of this verse, Chaitanya-dharpana-marjanam, and offer these prayers to the holy name and meditate on these meanings in relation to the holy name. Chaitanya-dharpana-marjanam, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, O Radha and Krishna, O holy name, O Mother Hara, O energy, Lord, I'm really burning. I am burning on both ends. Like the candle sometimes is burning on both ends. They have a phrase like that. My mind is burning, my heart is burning. Someone actually wrote me a letter from Bombay. She said, I thought when I got married, everything would be nice. Of course, you know, this was her idea, a little naive. But one Indian lady, chaste, traditional type Indian lady. I thought when I got married, everything would be nice. But now I'm married, and Maharaj, I'm really burning. I'm really unhappy. So this is, everyone is burning. Some people think, but it's just a matter of whether you know it or not. Well, it's appropriate then we're talking about Shikshastaka when Gaur Nitai come. There must be pure devotees here. They say that whenever the pure name is being chanted, then Gaur Nitai descend there and dance. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that whenever a Sankirtan party goes out, whenever a Sankirtan party goes out for Harinam, there must be at least one pure devotee in that party. Maybe 300 people, 500 people, 20 people. But in that Sankirtan party, Sankirtan party, there must be at least one pure devotee chanting pure Nam, Shuddha Nam. Because he gives guidelines. He gives many guidelines in his discussion on Namhat, Bhakti Briksha and Namhat and all these guidelines for congregational preaching, which some of you are familiar with. But this is what he says when the Sankirtan party goes out. It's not that 20 bhaktas go out, bang, bang, ching, ching, ting, ting. Hare Krishna. There must be at least one pure devotee goes with them. This is his teaching. So usually the senior devotees in the temple, they take out the new devotees. It's like this. And hopefully one of the senior devotees is chanting Shudanam. Any questions about this? Yes, Nishringa. Let me just specify more. If one's Vastu city is in Braj Bhakti in Vrindavan, because you can have Vastu city in Vaikuntha, you can have a pure spiritual body in Vaikuntha and still have some desire for pleasure. In fact, many times it's part of the ambition, because there's desire even in Vaikuntha Mukti. There's desire. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want any Vaikuntha Mukti, because that's also desire. People want Sarupya. I want to have the same form as the Lord. So they have to come to Prem. Vaikuntha Prem you must have, but you still have some desire to have a form. So you get a form like the Lord, and you go to Vaikuntha. And then because you have some desire to have that form, it's spiritual desire, it's pure, and you become totally pure, but you some spiritual tinge there. It's not the same level of purity as Braja Prem. So there, part of that tinge is also that there's Swadhanam. You want the taste of pleasure also. Like the queens of Dwarka, they're not in Braj, they're in Dwarka. And then there's some, you can say, spiritual desire there. Spiritual tinge, because they want, it's called Samanjasarati. Their attachment to Krishna, they're totally in Prem. They're pure, but there's some desire to enjoy while they're serving Krishna. And that's not there in Braj, in the gopis. But there's no that pleasure. Certainly, the pleasure comes. You can't imagine when you read. If you want to understand that the extent of the pleasure one the Brijvasis are experiencing, then you read Adi Lila chapter 4. It's very clear in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Radharani is speaking, or Krishna, I forget who's speaking, saying the pleasure that the Mandris experience in serving Radharani is millions of more times than what she experiences with Krishna. It's very clear. It's talking about the gradations of pleasure that are experienced in Braj Bhakti, where there is no desire for any pleasure. When those who have their pure spiritual bodies are already, who are also Nitya Parishads, or in their pure Vastu city, they have no desire, no samanjasa, nothing for themselves. But the pleasure they're getting is millions and billions of times more. That's all very clearly told in Adi Lila. Well, that's what Lord Chaitanya is saying. He's saying Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Anandam Buddhivardhanam, that's number 5. He said the jiva takes shelter, lotus feet, Ananta Krishna. He submerges in ever an expanding, boundless ocean of bliss. That's why we say there's a term that ruchi. What does ruchi mean? Ruchi means taste. That's way below bhava. Ruchi, then asakti, then bhava, then prema. Actually, each one of these things are at different levels also. These 7 things represent, which I was also explaining. Yes? If you attain the level of Prem, which is when you'll have your Sarup City will come at a higher level of Bhava, and then that Bhava will mature to Prema. But prema has hierarchy, sneha, man, pranaya, rag. But you can't experience that till you take birth in Voma Vrindavan. So if your prema is Braja prema, and your Swarup city is in following in the line of one of the Brijvasis in Sakirati or Vatsalyarati or Madhuryarati or Madhurarati, then you will leave this world and you will go to Voma Vrindavan and take birth from the womb of a gopi. And still, that Bhoma Vrindavan means a material universe where Krishna is a material universe. Bhoma Vrindavan is in a material universe where Krishna is displaying his prakat lila, his visible pastimes. That is called Bhoma Vrindavan. From there, in Bhoma Vrindavan, then you go to school, you go to prema school. Just like Lord Krishna came down and went to prema school. Lord Krishna came down to Bhoma Vrindavan, he came down to Bhoma Jagannath Puri, and he went to prema school. And Gadadhar Pandit and Lalita and Vishakha taught him about prema. So he enrolled in the prema school. It was called the Gambira School of Prema. So we will also enroll in the school of prema, and we will have the same teachers also, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Rai Ramananda. Lita Vishakha will be there, and Rupa Mandri will be there, and our Guru Sakhi will be there. And you can read about this in Gita Mala by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He explains how he was enrolled in the school of prema and getting further teachings there. And then finally, when he was qualified with the proper vastu, the proper substance. Vastu means substance. The proper substance, which means the infrastructure of prema, of infrastructure of developed prema, then he was capable of understanding and perceiving and feeling snehaman pranaya rag anarag. Then he could enter into the actual lila, Astakali Lila, and do his seva, which he has been cultivating from the time of Swarup Siddhi. That's how it works. In Gita Mala, you can read Gita Mala, which is also in English. It's, of course, in bhajan. There's 7 bhajans called Siddhi Lalasa, and describes the progression from Braj Bhajan to Navadvip Bhajan, from Navadvip Bhajan to Bhoma Vrindavan, from Bhoma Vrindavan going into the school of prema and graduating from the school of prema and having one's first opportunity to have darshan of Radha and Krishna and enter into their seva. It's very nicely described there. And 7 bhajans called Siddhi Lalasa. Yeah. The question is, in case it's not picked up on the microphone, is that in chanting the holy name of the Lord, I suppose we mean japa in this case, chanting japa, solitary japa, how does one become absorbed, deeply absorbed in the chanting process of the holy name? We can become absorbed by intently hearing with full concentration the holy name, or we can become absorbed by meditating on the eternal pastimes of Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. These are 2 ways. Are there other ways by which we can become absorbed in chanting? Is this the question? This is the question. So the main answer to this that the acharyas give is a continual chanting itself. It sounds like a simplistic answer, but the real answer is continuous chanting, which means chant more and more rounds in either the 2 ways that you mentioned, but more and more rounds. They say by chanting more and more rounds, automatically the concentration improves, the speed improves, because you chant more, you become purified. But the main thing is you become purified by chanting more and more rounds. And as one becomes more and more purified, then the holy name itself takes us into different levels of absorption. The holy name takes us there. And of course, you can go around about another way to get to that point of absorption, which is an indirect and a forced way, and which will come and go. And that's what's described in the art of chanting, actually. By forcing the guna or the rupam or the lila, which is what you're mentioning by lila smaran, at least until the level of bhava, forcing these meditations into the mind while chanting to create a state of absorption. It's like an artificial state of absorption. By importing meditation on the rupam or the qualities or the lila. But Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sundarva, he's explaining, and all the commentators are saying that the way to become absorbed in chanting is to continuously chant. There's no other way. Continually chant one round after another round after another round. And this continuous chanting at Chaito Dharvana Marjanam, it brings the purity of consciousness. And as the consciousness becomes purified, then that name that we're chanting brings us to a platform where the form is there, where we actually have the darshan of Krishna's form. And when the form manifests, this is described, and this sequence is described in Bhakti Sandarbha, as the form manifests in the name, brings us to the form, then the form stays there. We don't have to like, oh, now I'm thinking of the feet. The form is there. So then, in the presence of the form, we continue to chant. This is how, in other words, the form, whenever we chant japa, then the form will manifest. The name will give us darshan of the form. And then so now we'll be more absorbed, because when we're chanting, we'll see the form of Krishna in our mind. It will stay there. Krishna's form will be there. Then as we continue to chant in association with the form, then the name reveals, the qualities start to come, Krishna's qualities start to manifest in our mind and heart, the different all-pleasing, all the different 64 qualities and more will manifest while we're continuously chanting. This is what he's described. This is, I'm just repeating this, Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami. What I've tried to do in Art of Chanting is to simulate those steps which come as a byproduct of continuous chanting and purified consciousness. When there's continuous chanting and purified consciousness, that purified consciousness is a suitable container for the name to reveal his and her form, qualities, and pastimes. That's why they say you don't have to make any separate endeavor, just continuous chanting. And when there's purity of consciousness, and when you're chanting, then the pastimes will just flow. They'll just flow themselves. This is what they call the Swarasiki Mayupasana. Pastimes, they just flow. And you the river's flowing, and you fall in the river, and you go down the river. But mantra upasana, that's when you conscientiously or consciously try to meditate. That's an active process. The other one is passive. You're taken. So, because that's what our book is trying. Okay, meditate. I'm describing different meditations on the form. You're chanting Hare Krishna, but our consciousness is not pure. The form is not coming on because of purity. We're forcing. Okay, Rup Dhyan, Rup Chintamani, Vrishna Chakravarti. Okay, now I'm meditating on the smile. We're chanting Hare Krishna, meditating, but we're forcing that. Rup. Nam plus Rup. We're forcing that. So it's better than spacing out. But the real answer to absorption is continuous chanting. That's why they're always saying 64 rounds a day. Oh, it's so hard. So this book, by giving these forced meditations, helps us at least stay with the holy name in somewhat spiritual way, and then eventually we'll become purified. Our hearing will be more attentive, we'll be more absorbed in hearing, and that hearing will carry us onto a more steady practice of continuous chanting, number by number by number. I haven't gotten to that part of the class, but what I draw is a circle. I have it here. I think I drew that. I just show it to you, this circle, because I made prepared classes for 9 or 10 chapters, but I didn't get that far. I don't know if you can see this. This is a circle in a circle in a circle. I mean, it's supposed to be a circle. No. This is round. This is a circle, and this is a circle. So this circle is named the Nam, the Maha Mantra. And if we continuously chant the Maha Mantra, then the Rup will come in, Rup, Gun, Leela, everything will come just from the name. But what generally happens is we're chanting in the stage of Anartha Nivritti, or even Nishta, even up to Ruchi, beginning of Ruchi. We're chanting, but then we can get big shape and so many distractions. We're chanting the holy name, we're trying to hear and chant. Right, we're trying to hear and chant, but then our mind goes away from that, and we go outside this circle, and we go into Maya. This is all Maya. Anywhere outside is Maya. It means forgetfulness of Krishna. You're meditating on any kind of non-spiritual thing. So instead of going out there, when we become inattentive, or we become lazy, or we become lackadaisical, or we become distracted, instead of going out into Maya, mixing our holy name with some kind of Maya, then we mix our holy name with the meaning. What is the meaning of the holy name? or prayers or shlokas about the holy name, or rupam, or gun, meditating on Krishna, actively, consciously forcing a meditation on the rup or the guna or the lila. And then when we do that, we're chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. My mind's going this way. Oh, what does the holy name mean? Oh, the holy name means this. And then, oh, Mother Ra. And, you know, we start importing. We consciously think of the meaning of the holy name and chant. And then what happens is, because all these things, this circle, this spiritual circle, it's called the spiritual energy, Krishna Nam, little circle, big circle. So this big circle is spiritual energy, and a little circle is spiritual energy. And this is all Maya, external energy. So we want to be in the spiritual energy of chanting Nam, but our mind is trying to take us into the external energy. So instead of letting our mind take us that way, we consciously stay in the spiritual energy of the larger circle and kind of dabble into the meaning, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes, and that'll purify those extraneous thoughts and those material ideas will actually become purified, because this is all spiritual energy. And then we can get back to the concentrated circle of just hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. Because continuous hearing and chanting brings us to the point automatically of remembering. Remembering what? Rup, Guna, and Lila. Because that's what purified name brings. So the whole art of chanting, this is a drawing, this illustrates the whole art of chanting in this drawing. Because the name itself will automatically bring all these things. We don't have to worry about it. This is what is told in Sandarvas. That's why Prabhupada said, just hear the holy name. Just hear and chant. Okay, we try. Okay, I can absorb myself. I can hear the holy name and chant for 3 rounds. And after 3 rounds, after 20 minutes, I start spacing out. I start getting hungry, thirsty, this, that, and everything. So my mind starts going to these material things. So you have a choice. Go to the material things and chant 13 spaced out rounds, because you only chanted 3 attentively. And just dabble on all the material things for 13 rounds. Hare Krishna, this, that, the other thing. Or, Hare Krishna, well, oh no, forget about that. Let me look at this page. Let me just start meditating on Krishna's form. Oh, now his smile, and like this. So when you're that, all those rup, guna, and lila, although it's forced, it's transcendental. It's Krishna's rup, guna, and lila. So that will purify the mind. So you're spacing out, instead of spacing out in material energy, you're not doing what you're really supposed to do, is fully concentrate on hearing and chanting. That's it. This is the real activity. Just continuously hear and chant, and that's it. And then sometimes, if you're not attentively hearing and chanting, then remember the meaning. This is the first thing in Acharya say. Meditate on the meaning of the holy name, which is told here. Meaning, then A and B is, and prayers or shlokas. Prayers like Shikshastim, etc. And then, if you don't feel like doing that, you get bored of the meaning, well then, rupam, or then guna, lila. But ultimately, just pure name will bring lila. Lila will just come on its own. This is what all the acharyas say. Harinam Chintamani, Madhurya Kadambini, and Priti Bhakti Sandarva. But we're restless, we're lazy, and so, we say, oh, when's it going to happen? When's the lila going to happen? It only happens by continuous chanting. Chaita Dharvana Marjanam. Does this answer your question? I mean, it's a hard answer because it means continuous chanting. I mean, what are acharyas? I mean, different acharyas, they may tell, because I know acharyas in Gaudiya Mission and Gaudiya Sampradaya, even new devotees, they say, oh, chant holy name, meditate on lila. They tell. So, but when the mind is so full of contamination, we can try to meditate on lila, but it's here and then gone. Because the mind is, wait a minute, I was meditating on this lila, Hare Krishna, where'd it go? Where's that lila? What lila was it? Because the mind is so much jumping and so much contamination. But they say, well, keep doing it. Well, it's a fact. This is the same principle like this. Well, keep doing it, because lila itself is pure. It's Krishna's lila, lila maya, chinmaya. It's Krishna. It's whose lila? It's Krishna's lila. So that's a pure meditation. But sometimes it's, and some people this works because they don't have many bad, you know, samskaras. So they have good birth and pure mind. So they can, even in the beginning, they can chant the holy name and meditate on lila. That one has to judge. But the real thing is continuous chanting and absorbing ourselves in full, as Prabhupada said, full concentration, attentive hearing, full concentration. These four basic rules we discussed yesterday. Early morning chanting. like this. There's no, in other words, there's no easy way out. Anyway, I would like to be able to answer your question. Yes, I have a very secret way to become absorbed in chanting and the secrets of mantra. But and I've looked deeply for those secrets. But unfortunately, Jiva Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Vishwanath and our other acharyas, the only secret is hard work. No shortcut, exactly, that's the right word. There's no shortcut, the only secret is hard work. Blood, sweat, and tears, as they say. Chant, chant, chant. And what do they say? Can't, can't, can't. One, these are, they're all just separate things. You can't do all at once. Well, you can do it in the Leela stage.
My question is that when you start focusing on this, then the chanting goes a little, and the hearing of the name goes a little on the background.
Yes.
Is that okay?
The point, now you have to understand what, why this medicine is there. I've already explained, but I don't think you've caught it completely. What we're supposed to do is hearing and chant, hear and chant. Hear the holy name and chant the holy name. This is where you want to be. Just, you only want to be in a small circle. All the time. Forever. Because when you stay in a small circle and chant Shudanam, all this is, comes down in there. Rup, Guna, and Leela comes into that circle. Pure name brings Rup, Guna, and Leela. Clear. But you're chanting, you're trying to hear, you're hearing and chanting, but you're losing it. You're not hearing nicely. You're spacing out. And you're not hearing. So you have a choice to continue to not hear nicely and chant like imperfect rounds. Either have that, that's what usually people do. Hare Krishna, I'm not really hearing too. Anyway, let me finish. Hare Krishna, but this, that. Anyway, let me finish my rounds. This is a basic idea. I'm not hearing very nicely, I'm not concentrating, but let me finish the rounds. That's what most people do. Now, but we presented in Art of Chanting an option, which is actually where the pure name will take us anyway. And this option is completely transcendental and completely spiritual. So when we're chanting, we're not hearing nicely, then, oh, I'm not hearing nicely, I'm spacing out. Well, let me hear halfway and then meditate halfway on Krishna's form. Because that's better than hearing halfway and meditating on all these material things that I'm already meditating on. You follow? Because they don't purify us. They keep us in nowhere. So I'm hearing halfway, which is spiritual and purifying, and I'm meditating on Krishna's form, which is spiritual and purifying. So, but it's not the ideal chanting, but it's good. It's better chanting than hearing halfway and meditating on Maya, which is contaminating. Contemplation of the object of the senses develops attachment. So you're actually becoming, that's why it says when you chant Hare Krishna, you're watering the weeds. This is a Madhyalila, Sanatana Shiksha. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're inattentive, then you're watering the weeds of bhog and mukti. We already discussed that. So you have a choice to water, to inattentive chanting and water weeds. A little bit for your bhakti creeper is going, but also if you're really inattentive, a lot of water is going to sense gratification. And you're creating a deep samskara by your inattentive chanting. So your inattentive chanting will make you, after you're finished your rounds, you're going to go out and enjoy. But this art of chanting is giving a very solid, positive spiritual alternative. So follow it. So you're chanting on. So what happens is you're halfway chanting, you're meditating on the rupam. So the rupam is purifying that inattention, all those stray thoughts that you had, which were inattentive, now are centered on the rupam. Oh, now I'm chanting halfway, or not even you're saying halfway, but I don't agree with that halfway. I don't agree it's halfway, but we'll just say it's halfway. You're chanting halfway and meditating very nicely on concentrating on Krishna's rupam and halfway in the holy name. So now, all those other extraneous thoughts you had, wherever they were taking you, you forgot about them. You're not entertained. You forgot about them. Now you're just, now it's just my halfway chanting in the rupam. Now I'm going to let go of the rupam and go back to fully embracing hearing and chanting. I'm going to let go of this and go back to this circle, the small circle. And now my mind is peaceful. It's become purified by that rupa meditation. It's become peaceful. I forgot. I don't even know what I was thinking about. Now I can absorb myself again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And fully hearing and chanting. This is the whole principle behind my book. And it's a very solid one. A very good one. Yes. Now, what I want to say is this, and what does Shastra say? When the mind is pure, then Krishna's Rup, Gun, and Leela manifest in a pure mind. And the way to attain a pure mind is by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Whether you chant, if you chant for 1 minute, Shuddha Nam, and your mind becomes totally pure, or whether you chant 24 hours, the whole idea is we have to come to the point of purifying our mind. So only we will know, only each sadhaka will know how much pure or impure. When the mind is pure, then we see Krishna. Simple. And when you see Krishna, Krishna has qualities, and Krishna is not a stambha. Krishna is a person, and he engages in pastimes. And whatever time you see him, you'll see him what he's doing at that time. Because our Ishtadeva is not Vishnu. He's not just hanging in space inside the atom. So our Ishtadarshan will not be Chaturbhuj Narayan hanging in space or coming out of the heart like Narad. Our Ishtadeva is Brajendra Nandan Krishna. And our Ishtadeva is always moving through Astakale Leela. So whatever time you see him, you'll see him in that time, in that Leela. Moving in that Leela. So you'll see Rup, Gun, and Leela. In the pure mind. And the pure mind is attained by chanting the Mahamantra. And from our level, we should chant continuously. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Lord Chaitanya is telling us, this is the stage of Ruchi. Not Prema. Ruchi. Then, Asakti. Oh, excuse me, I made a mistake. This is the stage of Nishtha, Kirtaniya Sadhari. And after Nishtha, there's Ruchi, Vedananujanam. This is Ruchi. And then there's Asakti, Ayinanda Tanushakinkaram. Right? And then there's Bhava, because Bhava means there's some symptoms, preliminary symptoms, in a minor way. There's Nayanam, Galardashindaryu, eyes, some tears, and there's some trembling. This is told, and this is Bhava. Beginning of Bhava, right? And Shikshastakam. You know, Nayanam, Galardashindaryu, this is Bhava. And then we have Yugayatam. Then, in this Bhava, and this intense feelings, then you feel intense separations called Purvarag. Purvaragavas. Actually, Purvarag develops in Boma Vrindavan. But this Purvaragavas, so then you feel separation. Something, separation. Not exactly Yugayatam Yunvation, but this is separation. And this is Prem. Purvaraga is the level of Prem. Viraha. So this Yugayatanimation, this is Prem and separation. And then, Ashla Shiva Parvatam, then Krishna embraces you. This is Sambhog. The second type of Prem. Sambhog Prem, Sambhog Milan, embracing you, crushing you with his embrace. And then Yugayatam Yameshena, this is Viraha. So Prem has two aspects. So these two verses are about Prem. So this is all described in Shikshastakam. So this Nishtha is Kirtaniya Sadhari. So therefore we have to always chant the holy name so we come to the platform of Nishtha. And then we become very humble and very prideless, respect everyone and become very tolerant. Now we're at the level of Anishtita Bhakti. And we're struggling with so many anarthas and aparads and so we should continuously associate with advanced devotees and continuously chant the holy name. Another way to become absorbed, which maybe you said you missed a few classes, to become absorbed in chanting of japa is to chant with those that are absorbed, if they so allow. Usually they do their bhajan, nirjan bhajan. But if the gracious nam acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya are so gracious to allow us to chant with them, it is a great fortune for us. It will really speed up our ability to become absorbed. Because just by granting us darshan at the time they're chanting japa means that they're blessing us with absorption. Like if I'm all wet, if I'm in a swimming pool and I'm all wet, and you come down your bathing suit to that swimming pool and you sit there on the side, I say, oh. And then you say, can I swim with you? I say, yeah, come in. So then if you come in the pool, you'll become all wet. Because I'm in the pool and I'm wet. And so if some devotee's chanting, he's absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, and you sit with him, his absorption is going to come to you. You become wet with some drops of his absorption. This is how it works. So usually they're a little bit miserly in that department. Because they're relishing some of their own internal ecstasies, these very advanced devotees. And that's the time when they're alone with the Lord, which I mentioned in my japa book. Find some time to be alone with the Lord. That's a very intimate description I put there. Set aside some time of the day to be alone with the Lord. And that there's many ramifications of that statement that I wrote. And according to your Adhikar, you'll understand what it means. But at least it means turn off your cell phone. That's the low end. The low end of being alone with the Lord, setting aside some time to be alone with the Lord means at least you turn off your cell phone for 2 hours or 16 rounds. Can you do it? Do you dare? I challenge you. I don't think you have enough guts to do it. You're Ridaya Durbalya, weak-hearted. You have a weakness for Nokia. We have a Nokia sanskara in your chitta. So you always surrender to Nokia and your mind always goes there and your heart always goes there because you have inherent attraction and attachment because of your sanskara. Forces you. Your sanskaras force you to act. Because there are sanskaras, we're forced to act and think in certain ways. So we have Nokia sanskaras, so we're forced to turn on that phone and turn off the japa. If your phone is turned on, that means your japa is turned off. Simple as that. It means you already said, Krishna, I'm divided. Krishna, my love is divided. Nokia and Krishna. Sri Nokia Vacha. Nokia Bhagavat. Nokia Vat. There's Bhagavat and Nokia Vat. Srimad Nokia Vat. And Srimad Bhagavat. So I hope these guys don't drop a bomb on me or something. They may program my telephone to blow up when they hear about my blasphemy of their company. They'll send me some message and I go to, and phone blows up. This is a real point. Yeah, everyone can consider it for themselves. Talking about absorption in japa, we can't even keep our phone off for 2 hours. Hare Krishna. Anyway, thank you. I'd like to thank everyone very much for attending these classes for 1 month, and it's really been a great fortune for me to be able to have your association in this holy place of Radhakund. And it's a blessing of all of our gurus that we're able to stay here and hear these sacred teachings of Vrindavan Das Thakur and Prabhupada Saraswati and all the great acharyas glorifying the holy name. And I pray to my Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada and my Ishtadev Giridhar Isham and Srimati Radhika that whatever you've heard from these classes will stay in your mind and heart and help you progress in bhakti. And I hope that it will stay in my mind and heart and help me progress in bhakti. And if I've committed any offenses to you or any of your near and dear ones, please forgive me. It was not my wish or desire to offend anyone. And I pray that I may be able to be so fortunate in the future to again speak some Harikatha in this holy place, in your holy association. So thank you very much. And please accept my obeisances. Vanchakova Juliascha, keep a single lady.